This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Salem Mayor Dominic Pangallo. Mayor Pangallo, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Mayor, I was just noting to you a moment ago that we are getting close to your election anniversary here and also your inaugural anniversary, maybe a month and a half away. But this is that time of year. You probably remember this time of year very well 1 year ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was knocking a lot of doors this time last year, working hard, so it's been a whirlwind of a year for sure, but I'm just as excited and happy to be here.
Absolutely. All right, I want to get to one question here first. The city government from Salem put together an ordinance or a proposal to be reviewed regarding homelessness or homeless encampments or public or camping in public property. City property, and it went to a committee. It went to the committee again last night, and now it goes to the city council on Thursday night this week. So maybe give us an update on that and your take on that. There definitely a hot issue in the city.
Yeah, I think it's a significant issue across the Commonwealth and across the country, frankly. I mean, homelessness is a major challenge, and it's being driven by a large number of root causes. And I think we recognize that those causes are still in place, that this ordinance isn't going to fix that, that we have a lot of work to do as a city, as a Commonwealth, as a country, to kind of rebuild the social safety nets, invest in the affordable housing, the mental and behavioral health services, substance use and addiction services. A lot of the programs and needs that have been disinvested in over the last decades are coming home to roost, and we're seeing that manifest in this housing crisis and homelessness especially. So this ordinance that was proposed and was adopted by a committee of the city council last night and will go to the full city council on Thursday evening is essentially very identical to what was adopted in Boston in the fall, which says that in the event that shelter capacity exists in the community, in the area, that camping on public property is not permitted. And in the event that there is not shelter capacity, camping is still permitted, but it takes place within a set of rules to protect against public health and safety concerns.
Absolutely. All right. I'm gonna jump on to some other topics here. Offshore wind. Now, I understand you were at the Technology Testing Center yesterday, I think it was. But give us an update on the Salem, on the offshore wind project in Salem.
Yeah, so it's really exciting. The last few months have seen a lot of progress on this project. This is the transformation of the property that used to be the home of one of the dirtiest coal-fired power plants in America and a giant coal pile. I grew up about a mile from when I was a kid. That site is it's 42 acres on the water that's being transformed into a marshalling yard for offshore wind turbines. So vessels will deliver the components to the site. Workers at the site will assemble those components, put them on a different vessel, which will then take them out into the Atlantic, south of Cape Cod, or eventually into the Gulf of Maine for installation, generating clean energy for hopefully many, many, many decades to come. So we've finished the local permitting here on that project. The project agreements, which includes a wharfing agreement and a community benefits agreement, and some land transfers, have all been completed. It's going through some review now with our building engineering departments and at the departmental level, and it has to complete some state and federal permitting as well. But we're still looking at a groundbreaking this spring, and hopefully the site will be in service, fully constructed and in service to support the offshore wind industry starting in 2026.
Maybe share with us your experiences yesterday, what you saw there. It looked to me like wind blades. You're seeing, is that where they construct or test those wind blades?
So the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, which is a quasi-state government agency, operates a wind technology testing center in Charlestown, Massachusetts, in Boston. It's been in operation since the 2000, or the early part of the 21st century, primarily starting out with land-based turbine blade testing, but definitely moving towards offshore wind more and more now. And this facility is where they would bring in a turbine blade, just a single one from a company, and then put it through a series of stress tests to ensure that it has the integrity and the ability to withstand the winds, the weather, the ocean conditions, and see what it would look like at certain points of its lifespan and where it may have issues with its engineering and construction. So it's a great facility to have in Massachusetts. It's a facility that they've indicated to us that they need to actually make larger because the size of the turbines are getting larger as we seek to create more power offshore.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, Charlestown's a tight community, right? And I mean, it's like putting a wind turbine test plant in downtown Salem. I mean,
they have some space along the water. It's down near, it's under the bridge, right along the river, so that vessels can bring the turbine blades in so they can be directly brought in by truck or crane into the facility for testing.
All right. Big news a while ago was the Salem High building project. Not so much in the news of late, but what's happening, kind of underneath the surface here with the Salem High building project? What can you share with us?
Yeah, that's still plugging along. You know, we have a great building committee made up of dozens of people from our community, city officials, members of the school community. We actually just added three students to the committee so that student voice will be heard through the process. And the building committee is helping to shape the planning around what's going to be in that facility. We moved from the Massachusetts State School Building Authority, which is the state agency that provides funding support for these kinds of projects, did move us from the preliminary phase into the feasibility study phase, which is where we are now. And this process will be taking probably the next year or year and a half. We'll be engaging in a series of conversations around the community to talk about what we want to see in a future Salem High School or a building at the Salem High School site. That this might also entail grade reconfigurations and a whole manner of changes across the district. So it's not just a building. It's really kind of rethinking what the future of public education looks like and how we can best serve our kids going into the future.
I understand it would be in the planning stage here, but would you be looking at an entirely new building, revamping the current building, adding on to buildings around that facility, or is that all kind of up in the air?
It's mostly up in the air. I'll say that the two things that are most likely under consideration are either an entirely new building or a building that largely is new and reuses part of the existing facility. A lot will be determined by the grade configuration. So, to be completely upfront about it, right now our high school is grade 9 through 12. There is one model that was an outgrowth of a facility master planning process that was done in 2022 that envisions a grade 7 through 12 facility at that site. So you have grade 7 and 8 in one portion of a building and then grades 9 through 12 in that other portion. And then looking at your elementary schools throughout the city and saying those now become kindergarten through sixth grade or first grade through sixth grade, and you move kindergarten and pre-K into a centralized facility. So there's a whole slate of models that we can look at. A lot of it's going to be driven by enrollment changes and the demographics of the community, but a lot of it's also based on the kind of school district we want to have.
Yeah, and you also have, it's the Bowditch School right nearby there too, as a structure anyways. You could always consider that as an element to any campus, if you will, for sure. I think the only school like that, well, I'm not saying the only one, Saugus High School reconfigured that way, the way maybe the 7 through 12 with the middle school, high school complex in one kind of campus, if you will.
Yeah. It's a model that's been used throughout the Massachusetts in several places and also other places around the country, for sure.
All right. Now, Salem is, we mentioned your anniversary as mayor coming up on the one-year thing, but as far as the city of Salem, the 400th anniversary is coming up very soon as well in the next couple of years.
Yeah, 2026. Salem celebrates our 400th anniversary of European arrival here. We're calling it Salem 400 Plus.
Yeah.
In recognition of the fact that it's a commemoration of more than just the last four centuries of our history, but also the history predating 1626. And then also how we're looking forward. This is an opportunity for us to think about the kind of city we want to be for generations to come. So really stepping up our investments in our signature parks and our public spaces. We'll have a year-round calendar of celebrations and events and festivals, many of which are annual events that we enjoy here in Salem that are going to be tailored specifically to the quadricentennial. And then a couple of new things as well. So I encourage folks to keep an eye on salem400.org for updates. There's going to be some exciting updates to that website coming in early May.
I know the city of Gloucester recently did their 400-plus celebration as well, and they it sounded like it was pretty successful up there with all the different events that they were able to put together during the course of the year, and kind of, as you say, kind of celebrate what that city was, and of course Salem has a lot to celebrate as well.
We do, for sure.
All right, Dominic, anything else to share with us from City Hall today?
Oh, there's a lot going on. It's a busy city, as you know, Bill. So it's just, I'm so thrilled to be in this position and really excited about wrapping up this first year and looking at what's on the table in the year ahead.
Oh, I know. I just to share with our listeners here that down below on this post, when they see it, we did put up a note on your being named to that national group, I guess it's 10 mayors on pedestrian safety. So I just wanted to let the folks know about that. That's down below on the post, but congratulations on that. That sounds kind of exciting.
It is, yeah. Mayor's Innovation Project runs this program where they select a small number of mayors to do some intensive deep dive on pedestrian safety, and looking forward to talking with the other mayors in the cohort and the subject matter experts that they'll be bringing in to share best practices with us and hear about common challenges and shared opportunities.
Perfect. Mayor, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Best of luck, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Definitely. Thanks so much.
Salem Mayor Dominic Pangallo. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.